They're not going to deviate, says Tommy Curran. That was yesterday on Jones and Mego with Arcan. If you want to find the full interview, it's up on YouTube. Check it out. No Mego today. We did our final show yesterday. Myself, Arcan, and Mego. Two of us here again today.
Our Viking funeral.
Is that today or is that yesterday? Which one's technically the...
Yesterday was the three of us, our Viking. This is our Viking funeral.
So we pushed her out on her own iceberg, and now the two of us will...
Yep. You're next. Your iceberg floating over to 10 to 2.
Yeah, actually, that's true. You're not really leaving.
You're just
shoving out icebergs.
I'm just moving on over. Finally, my plan has come to fruition. All these 2 years, I've been plotting behind the scenes to get you two out of here, and it finally
worked out. That is true. So, look, I keep saying this. If you're unfamiliar with what we're talking about, there's a lot of different places you can seek it out. It took him a couple of days, but Chad Finn wrote about it in the Boston Globe. You can read it there. We have a press release here at WEEI. We've talked about it a couple of different times. We talked about it with Mego yesterday. Arcan and myself talked about it on Wednesday after the Red Sox game. So seek those out on the Odyssey app. There are lineup changes here. I'll start Monday with Keith at 10 o'clock. And Arcan, when are you and Andy rolling out the new venture?
Well, there is a doubleheader on Monday, so we'll be starting on Tuesday.
Yes. There you go. So get ready for that next week. But the Viking funeral, as Arcan said here, with a little homage to Mego and her question there to Tommy Curran. Now, I find that to be a frustrating answer, and we talked about this yesterday, and I'm not frustrated with Tom. I think he's passing along what he's hearing and how he understands it, and I get that. But I am frustrated with the Patriots and there being no way that Drake May can beat out Jacoby Brissett. Like, that's annoying. I think a lot of people were surprised that Brissett, Jerod Mayo announced today Brissett's going to start the final preseason game on Sunday against Washington. I think people were surprised at that. I'm not. You know, he said earlier in the week, everybody who's healthy is going to play. And so I assume Brissett would start the game. I still want to see a lot of Jerod Mayo. And if Brissett looks like garbage and May plays well, or I'm sorry, a lot of Drake May, and May plays well, I still hope he can win the job. But Tom's saying no. A lot of people are saying no. And I think I'm done fully trusting them when it comes to this quarterback competition because a lot of them thought Brissett had separated. And Brissett was the guy. And I don't think that's the case. But Arcan, I want to get into something different that you brought up yesterday. We actually got untracked a little bit in the 4 o'clock hour because the Patriots had a long practice.
Right.
We got sidetracked, or Tommy Curran had to move back in the show. And so I had some stuff planned that you sent that we never got to yesterday. And I think it's very interesting. You did, and I hate this phrase, but I'll use it. You did a deep dive.
I did.
Dove
deep.
You did. You did some research on rookie quarterbacks over the last decade and how their teams have fared in year one with a rookie quarterback. What'd you find out?
Well, I found out that there are a lot of examples of this over the last 10 years. There's 23 different, and I went by not every quarterback that was drafted because a lot of them didn't play. Well, not a lot of them, but a few of them didn't play right away. Like Watson didn't play right away. Mahomes didn't play right away. Trey Lance didn't play. Tua got benched. You know, there was like a couple of other examples. So I tried to limit it just to guys who started right away and were playing most of the season, or even if they didn't start right away, they played a good chunk of their first year. And there's 21 quarterbacks who fit that mold. And going through it, you add them all up, the average change for a team drafting a rookie quarterback and then playing him is plus one win. So it's a positive thing, generally. Now, there's a lot of examples where it was negative, and we'll get to some of those, but in general, over the last decade...
Just to streamline that, the team drafts a quarterback, they improve by one win by playing a rookie quarterback in year one.
Yes.
Okay. So they get better.
They do.
Not necessarily a ton better, but they get better.
On average, yes. A lot of teams didn't necessarily get better, but most of them did. And I think the average there, like most of the things here, it was like two wins. And that was offset by some of the teams that got worse. The Panthers, for example, last year, Bryce Young, that was a 7-10 team, and then they dropped to 2-15. The opposite of that was C.J. Stroud and the Texans, who went plus seven. They won three games the year before and bumped that up to 10-7 with Stroud starting and playing all year. There's a lot of examples of teams getting worse. Justin Fields and the Bears, they went from 8-8 to 6-11. You have Josh Allen, that was a 9-7 Buffalo Bills team that went to 6-10. His rookie year, Sam Darnold and the Jets. Jared Goff, that team got worse. That Rams team went from 7-9 to 4-12 his rookie year. So there's examples where it wasn't. But generally, you got some pretty good turnaround. C.J. Stroud, Baker Mayfield, that Browns team was 0-16, and they were 7-9 the next year. Jameis Winston and the Bucks plus 4 wins from his year, and even Mac Jones. Went from a 7-win team with Cam Newton to a 10-win team with Mac Jones. So overall, I think what this tells you is that even if you're drafting a quarterback who's going to go on to be much, much better, or even not much better, like Jameis Winston didn't have a great career, but no matter what, it's not a huge dramatic turnaround either way most of the time. If you're picking high, it's because you had a bad team, and the odds are you'll continue to be kind of a bad team anyway with your rookie quarterback. And for a lot of these guys, they got off to slow starts and then became elite quarterbacks like Josh Allen and, you know, some of the other names I just gave you. And that, I think, is your best case Drake May scenario here if he plays this year, which I'm not even sure that he will. But if you do, it's not like some death sentence for your team in general.
You're not sure he'll play this year? Or you're not sure he'll play right away?
Play enough to
be one of these quarterbacks.
Right, yeah.
Got it. So, again, you're talking about the year one turnarounds. And on average, you improve by a win. And I will just say, you're doing team totals. I'm not trying to screw around with your numbers, but I'll just point out that Bills team was 6-10, Josh Allen's rookie year, but I think Allen was 4-5 as a starter. So I think they were trending to be better than that, but Allen got hurt, and so he didn't play the full year, his rookie year, which maybe is a red flag in your mind about Drake May. You don't want to get him hurt. But here would be my point.
Even still, though, that was a 9-17 the year before. They were 4-5. It still would have been a downgrade.
Well, potentially. I mean, let's see. You just said the quarterbacks get better in the second half of their rookie year. So potentially. Allen wasn't as bad as a rookie as people remember. We were just so jaded because we're used to watching Brady and, you know, Josh Allen.
Bill didn't like him.
And Josh Allen. Right. And Josh Allen's just a different kind of player. I mean, he's so toolsy. And we looked at it and we're like, it's never going to hit. And it turns out it hit. He hasn't won a Super Bowl yet. But if that's the standard, basically every quarterback in the NFL sucks for the last 20 years outside of Brady, Mahomes, Peyton Manning. Like, no one else is even good. And so he hasn't won a Super Bowl yet. And he hasn't won an MVP yet. But he's gotten MVP votes. He's clearly a franchise quarterback. And the Bills didn't ruin him by playing him year one. You just said it. The team got worse in the Josh Allen scenario. So did the Rams. The Rams got worse by playing Jared Goff.
And then they were in the Super Bowl the next year.
Did they ruin either of those quarterbacks?
2 years later. No, definitely not.
Okay, Josh Allen's fine. Jared Goff is on to a new organization, but he made a Super Bowl with the team that drafted him. Okay?
And he's been good with the Lions, too.
And he's been even better in Detroit.
Yeah.
True. You were a Goff guy. I wasn't. Goff had a very good year last year. Bryce Young is the other name on the list. Let's see where that one goes. You know, let's see. I would largely write him off as like a franchise quarterback. I think he's going to have a bounce back year. That doesn't mean I think he's a franchise quarterback, but Carolina got 5 games worse last year.
Mm-hmm.
He could be Jared Goff. Jared Goff looked lost and ruined as a rookie. Let's see if Bryce Young bounces back or if Carolina, quote unquote, ruined him.
Yeah, there's a couple other examples, too. Like, we mentioned Mac Jones. He's gone.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson, that Jets team got 2 wins better. They went from 2 wins to 4 wins after his rookie year, and he played a lot. So, you know, sometimes it looks like, okay, well, you got something here, but then it all goes to hell after that.
Yeah, so those are the big drop-offs. And I'm telling you, out of the big drop-offs, 2 of the 3 guys weren't ruined. They ended up being franchise quarterbacks for the teams that drafted them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I don't think there's much downside in playing a rookie, even if you do take a step back, which would be hard from being a 4-win team last year. And some of the steps forward you just highlighted. You could have a C.J. Stroud. You could have a Baker Mayfield. This team, it's in the range of outcomes, to me, where you go from a 4-win team and one of the worst in the NFL to, if you hit on your quarterback, you're an 8-10-win team and you're in the playoff mix. That's in the range of outcomes. Maybe it's 1%. Maybe it's 0.5%. Maybe it's 5%. We can debate what that percentage is.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the range of outcomes. It's happened before with bad teams playing a rookie in year one. It's happened. And so I don't really see the downside. I don't. In playing Drake May. Even if he doesn't have a great year, he won't be ruined. Like probably people thought Josh Allen was ruined. And people thought Jared Goff definitely was ruined. And they probably think about Bryce Young right now. Ruined. You're not going to ruin him. If he can play, you're not going to ruin him. And you may catch lightning in a bottle. And if not, maybe you improve by a couple of wins and you're more watchable this year. There is a range of outcomes between being terrible and being a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be okay with this being the Justin Herbert rookie year. 6-7 wins, something like that. You're better, and it looks like you have a franchise quarterback. That's not perfect.
They went from 5-11 to 7-9.
Yeah, that's not the dream. That's not what I want to happen. That's not a best-case scenario. But that's a good scenario. We would feel good about that after this season. You're competitive. The offense is watchable. It looks like you're on to something with a franchise quarterback. So I think that's interesting research, Arkin. Do you think it makes it any more compelling that the Patriots will play Drake May early? Because I'm
I'm not overly worried about that. I'm up and down, back and forth on if he'll play week one. I'm not worried about him playing early in his rookie year, meaning like week four, week five, week six, that range. By the beginning of October, he's going to be the starting quarterback. I'm pretty confident in that. I still think week one's in play, but they should, based on this research, which is the last 10 years in the NFL, we don't have to go back to Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. We certainly don't have to go back to Joe Montana.
Mm-mm.
Recent 10 years, last decade in the NFL, where things are trending. Not irrelevant data points from 20, 30 years ago. Recent data. It tells you you should play the rookie.
Yeah, I think so. And I've thought that all along. I think if you're going that high in the NFL today at number three and you're a four-win team at the bottom of the league, then there's really no reason not to. And maybe, you know, maybe he goes out there and it just doesn't work and he just can't do it and the offense isn't good enough and they have to cut him loose in a couple years and move on and try again. That's the reality. I mean, that's the reality for a lot of teams. A lot of the teams that I just sort of listed off there, I mean, those quarterbacks didn't stay on those teams. And that's the way of the world, especially when you're not a very good roster. And there's exceptions, obviously. Houston last year, big exception. There's been exceptions to that. But I'm not guaranteeing or even putting my money on the fact that the Patriots are going to be one of those exceptions. I just don't think so. As far as what you're saying about when he's actually going to play, I agree. I don't think it's going to be week one now, although I still think there's a chance if something happens this Sunday. But Chad Graff has an idea. Did you see in the Athletic? He said that if things don't go well, contemplating letting May take over for the week five game at home against the Dolphins would where he'd maybe make the debut if he continues to show strides and if Brissett sucks in the first four games, which, let's be honest, that's a tough first month, and he's probably going to have issues out there, and he's had issues already. So,
yeah.
I mean, that seems like a reasonable time to do it.
I think a lot of people have honed in on that stretch, week five, week six. I think a lot of people have honed in on those home games. You don't start them on the road. You don't start them early in the year. I'm with you, though, and I know you feel this way, and you guys can jump in. It's 617-779-7937. We'll get all your thoughts going into the final preseason game as well. What do you want to see? What's at stake? How much should May play? Why is Brissett starting? All that again at 617-779-7937. But this idea that he'll be ready week five, but he's not ready week one, to me is stupid. That's dumb. And you might not be sure he's ready right now, but you're never going to be sure. You're never going to be sure he's ready. Never. And the quarterbacks he's compared to, I've said this a million times, the quarterbacks that Drake May is compared to, Justin Herbert and Josh Allen, the teams didn't think those guys were ready. And they were wrong. Mm. They were wrong. The Chargers didn't think Herbert was ready to start week two. And if Tyrod Taylor didn't get stabbed in the lung, he wouldn't have started week two. They were wrong. He was ready. The Bills didn't think Josh Allen was ready. Nathan Peterman was so bad week one of his rookie year, they got him into the end of week one, and they started him week two. And they didn't ruin him. Turns out he was just fine. So I would lean in. If you have week five circled on the calendar, what are you afraid of really in the first month? The Bengals are probably going to destroy the Patriots. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I think Seattle's a very winnable game. Home opener. I don't think Seattle's that great. Flying from west to east. I think week two is a very, very winnable game, regardless of who your quarterback is. But I think you can win it. I like your chances better if Drake May's out there. Week three is the Jets. They stink, but it's a good defense.
Yep.
The Niners week four, you're getting smoked. I get being afraid of the Niners defense. I don't really think the rest of it is all that daunting from Drake May's standpoint. The defenses he's going against and getting run off the field. The Niners game is the combination of an offense that can blow you out and a defense that's going to beat you up. The Bengals can blow you out. They're not going to beat you up. I don't think the Seahawks are going to run away from you. I think it's a winnable game. The Jets might beat you up, but they can't score.
Right.
So I don't think the first month is that daunting. I would lean in on playing in week one, but I'm very confident.
We're on to Cincinnati.
I'm very confident. Thank you, Bill. I'm very confident he'll play by week five or six. Like, I am very confident in that. He'll play early in the year, and you'll have another data point, Arcand, in all your research, because I think he's going to play early.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I hope that you give him the chance to at least go out there and have a season. I don't think there should be a season where it's Jacoby Brissett with Drake May occasionally coming in at the end of, like, blowouts or something like that. You know, you've seen sometimes rookies do that. I don't think that's the move here. I think May is already, even with his inexperience, even with not having played a lot of college games, all of that, And I was dubious on him, so I feel like this is big of me to even say. I thought that he looked I thought that he looked very good, much better than I was expecting him to look in that game last Thursday. I just think that was an eye-opener.
You don't even like him.
Yeah, I'm not a big, I didn't want them to do this year. I thought this didn't make sense to bring a rookie quarterback onto this roster, and I still stand by that, by the way. But he looks like he's better than I expected him to be. I thought that he was going to be just in way over his head and not have the equipment, to be able to go out there and do it. But either way, the bar's so low. You put May out there, even if it's not perfect, and it's not going to be, even if it's not C.J. Stroud, even if you're just something like even Mitch Trubisky his first year in Pittsburgh. Like, you're talking, or where did he go? Chicago, sorry. Even if you're just Mitch Trubisky, like, no one's going to be out there scrutinizing Drake May in a way that's going to be unfair to him. I think he's going to get a ton of leash from the fans, from the crafts, from everybody. That's better for Jerod Mayo to have him out there. It's better for Jerod Mayo, I think, to have Drake May out there, unless he gets hurt.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
I do. I think so. I think that if he's out, so long as he's out there, even if it's not going perfectly, he can sort of look at him and say, hey, guys, come on, he's the rookie. And look, he almost, he got out of trouble.
See,
there.
I disagree with that.
He had a nice throw. The guy dropped it. Like, there's going to be more leash for May than there would be otherwise, I think.
I don't.
Really?
No. If May's terrible, the whole future of the franchise is screwed. Like, that's the worst thing for Mayo. And I wonder if that's part of why they're slow playing him. And I think that's a mistake. But I wonder if that's part of the factor there. Meanwhile, let's listen to Jerod Mayo from earlier today. I found this to be interesting. He was asked a variety of questions. Who's starting on Sunday? Who's playing on Sunday? We got some window into his coaching philosophy, motivational messages, some thoughts on, players who are standing out at camp, all this. But he ultimately got into the two traits that stand out to him in a quarterback. Here's what he highlighted.
To me, the top two things, mental toughness and just competitiveness. Those are two qualities that I really look at, with quarterbacks. I can't sit here and tell you, unless it's like a Phillip Rivers release where, man, that release is kind of weird. I don't get into the technical stuff like that. But for me, evaluating a quarterback or any other player, but especially the quarterback, they have to be mentally tough and they have to be able to just bounce back from all that, the adversity that they're bound to see.
Okay. He wants two things, and he highlighted those two things there. He wants the toughness and the competitiveness in a quarterback, which I can get behind. And I don't know if that's a vote of confidence for Brissett. I'm not really sure what that is, to be honest. How did you interpret it? I'll start by asking you. Do you interpret that as it's not about the skill level, it's not about the talent, and so he's talking up Brissett there? Or do you look at it and say, yeah, I don't really care if you can, run the offense at peak efficiency. I want to see a quarterback who's tough, a quarterback who's competitive, and a guy who's going to fight through it. And maybe he's highlighting the rookie there. Which way did you lean?
I was hearing Brissett, and I understand that was sort of what he was getting at there, but I also think it was just familiarity. I think that's such a big theme with this team right now, is just things you're familiar with, things that you have already seen before. Drake May is as new to them as he is to us, so I mean, that's sort of the point, I guess. You got Alex Van Pelt, who's worked with Brissett before, Mayo, who knew him, back in the, and has seen him play in the league. I think that there's something that they're really looking for, and that's why they re-signed all their own guys. It's just the familiarity of players who know the system and know them and can interact with them and kind of put one foot in front of the other. And that's sort of what I took away from most of Mayo's comments today, is that, Brissett's familiar, and they're right now see a lot of value in familiarity.
Okay. You can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. I thought it was half of a vote for Drake May, to be honest. Like, I hear what you're saying, and maybe he's leaning in on the vet. I hear him and say, oh, well, as long as you're tough, as long as you're competitive, as long as you keep getting up and, not getting knocked out of the game and fighting through it, then that's a guy I want to lean in on. And I think Drake May should have a chance. I've been, well-versed on that, and I've said it a million times. I still think he has a chance. If Brissett looks like trash on Sunday night, and he might, he's looked like trash most of this offseason. Mm. And he had a decent day today. I saw some of the numbers today. I think it was all at half speed, so I don't know how valuable the numbers were, but both he and May had a good day today, it sounds like. Curran gave them both a B-plus yesterday. But Brissett has largely looked like trash, which is what he's been in his almost decade in the NFL. If he looks bad and May looks good, there's going to be a loud drumbeat to play the kid. And I still think there's a chance he plays. What do you guys want to see on Sunday? And furthermore, what's at stake for this team on Sunday? Roster spots, starters-wise, you can jump in on that at 617-779-7937. We are off and running here today on Jones and Arcan. No Mego. We did our final show with Mego yesterday. Who is doing trending? It's you, Joe? Joe Braverman with all the latest and trending, and we're right back. I'll tell you.
When you get knocked down, you got
part of me for a long time was like, Bill Belichick, why don't you just tell us who's playing?
I ain't the sharpest knife in the drawer.
And Gerard Mayo does it. It's not a big deal. And it shouldn't be a big deal. Hey, who's starting the preseason game? No one's game planning. No one's doing anything. Bill would play these stupid games like, oh, you'll see when they're out there.
Right.
And I stand by that. Like, I guess I would rather have the coach tell me who's playing than not. So I would take this approach from Gerard Mayo right now than what Bill did for 20 years, where he just looked at you like you were crazy for even asking.
Right. And also, it didn't really matter who it was then because we all knew who the starter was.
No, but like, there were plenty of preseason games and stuff like that where we're like, is it Brady? Is it Garoppolo? I'm just talking purely in the preseason, especially. At least in the regular season, maybe there's some gamesmanship. It's like, is it Brady? Is it Garoppolo? Who's starting this preseason game? Is Brady going to play at all? How much is Brady going to play? Like, what is the harm in answering that in the preseason? So I'm happy Gerard Mayo answers it. I guess what bothers me is he's just like, oh, thank you. That's more than you guys ever got. Remember he said that the other week? He's like, oh, that's more than you guys ever got for the last 20 years.
Fantastic. Now you guys can sleep at night.
Oh, now you can sleep at night. I guess that's starting to bother me about him. Like, oh, thank you, Gerard, for telling us who the stupid starter is in the preseason game. Like, wow, thank you so much. So, like, that's what's bothering me about Mayo. Good, you're sharing it. You should. But can you just share it? Do you have to, like, pat yourself on the back for, like, telling us who the stupid preseason starter is? Like, that... that's starting to bother me with him.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, moving as far away from the Belichick model as you possibly can, and Mayo's leaned into that, so I'm not really surprised to hear it. He does have a much more jokey kind of rapport with the media than Bill ever did. I mean, Bill didn't give you anything.
No.
Gerard gives you everything, and he's trying to, like, rap with you, too, a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, not rap, but he's trying to have a rapport.
Yeah, sure.
And it's something that I think a lot of these guys are probably not used to. We're not used to hearing it. We're not used to a head coach with a personality talking and joking with people. It's just not what we saw for a long time. So, you know, I mean, you think back to, like, the Pete Carroll days. He was kind of like this.
Yeah.
Like, this is how Pete sort of treated everything.
Yeah. I mean, look.
It would help us a lot offensively, score more points, and giving up fewer would help us too.
You know, like,
don't forget that.
Like, Mike McDaniel has a good scheme, but all the stuff he does annoys me too. Like, he does a bunch of this stuff. You see his thing with Tyreek Hill the other day? Like, what's going on with Tyreek Hill's thumb? He's like, I'm really good at thumb wrestling.
Did see that.
And it's like, so that bothers me too.
Buzzing.
And so, look,
have you seen his new look, by the way?
I've seen it, yes.
McDaniel?
Yeah.
Someone said he went from Best Buy Geek Squad to, like, Miami Coke dealer in 2 years.
It's very accurate.
It's very true.
He's such a squid. I've never liked the way he handles anything. He's been more successful as a coach than I thought, and his scheme is good offensively. Mm-hmm. Those teams flame out like you read about in December and by the end of the year. Here you go. If you're watching on Twitch, you can see his look. I mean, he might as well be Tony Montana in these pictures. But that's at twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. It's a good, I mean, honestly, it's a good progression. That's a good progression for him, isn't it?
Yeah.
If I could grow my hair, rich lawyer to broke lawyer.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
If my hair grew out like that, I'd grow it out like that.
Yeah.
But I get like this mullet thing. Like, I couldn't do that. It wouldn't work.
But like, Mayo thinks he's really funny, just like Mike McDaniel thinks he's really funny. Like, that bothers me. It's like, oh, now you guys are sleeping at night, right? And it's like, okay, can you say who the starter is? Like, is that too much to ask? Somebody asks a question, you just answer it, and then you just wait for the next question. Doesn't have to be jokey about it.
Starting Mike McDaniel, he clearly looks like he doesn't sleep at night.
You don't have to be jokey about it. You don't have to be an a-hole about it like Bill. Like, is it too much to ask to just kind of split the difference between the two? Like, why is it so far over here with one and so far over there with the other? And maybe I'm just being nitpicky, but I really don't think I'm asking too much. But that's starting to annoy me.
Who's the last, like, really legitimately funny coach? Like, Rex Ryan?
Probably.
Yeah. I think,
Rex Ryan
Andy
was
Reid
funny.
In those commercials, he's funny.
That's a good one. Andy Reid's funny. Andy Reid's funny.
So those are the last two funny coaches.
Yeah, but Andy Reid's funny like, I'm fat, haha, I'm funny.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, that's funny.
That's good. Fat humor.
It's great.
Poop and fart humor. Like,
how about that D, baby?
Some things are timeless. You know what I mean?
Like, Rex Ryan had the fat thing and the foot thing, so
true.
Like, there was a lot. I mean, there's a lot of comedy.
He really had a lot going for him. That's true. It's a good point. Beyond the quarterbacks, Arkham, what's at stake in this game? Anything?
I think the wide receiver, and I asked Curran about this yesterday, but I think the wide receiver hierarchy is still one that's coming into form a little bit. You know, I think one big play here and there could mean a lot for someone like Kayshon Boutte, someone like Tyquan Thornton, who's been like the number one wideout here through most of practice and in all of these different camps. I think it seems like he's really emerged now in practice. We'll see if he can actually do it on the field or not. But this is a game on Sunday, and if he has a big touchdown or a big long gain or something like that, I could see the wide receiver room being affected. I'm thinking strictly offense here, so like whatever's going on with Caden Wallace, Mike Onwenu trying him out at tackle again, which I saw that he was there again today.
Yep.
Those are all important parts of this, too. The tight end situation, since those guys are all banged up, you know, Jaheim Bell and, like, whoever else they have over there, they can maybe make some strides. But really, I think the wide receiver is number one, and tight end is more of a mess. At least with wide receiver, there's some guys that you feel good about. Left tackle and, you know, on the offensive line, I think, is a little – there's a lot at stake there, but it's going to take a miracle.
Yeah. I don't really care about player 53. You know, I don't care about the kicker. And so I'm with you. Like, outside of quarterback, what's relevant? What's around the quarterback? O-line, can you get the right combination? The wide receivers, I think, are interesting. I'm curious to see where Javon Baker is in the pecking order.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is he playing? Is he playing a lot? Can he actually catch the ball when Drake May throws it to him or any of the quarterbacks throw it to him? Like, I'm interested in that. So wide receivers, I think, is a good one. A couple of things here. Number one, we were scheduled to be at Fenway, but it's been quite a wild week here at WEEI. So the Red Sox on WEEI are brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Make it the best summer ever with Ford by joining the Bronco family or getting the made-for-you New England Edition F-150. They are the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Also this, 37937. We get this every... It might be the same texter, for all I know, but I hear this constantly. And we get it every time we talk about Mayo versus Bill and Mayo being too soft on the players versus Bill. And you tell me if this is fair, Arcan. I'll let you be the judge. Jones, this is exactly what you asked for. We had the greatest coach of all time. Debatable. Now we have this dope giving you everything you ever wanted, and now you're whining about it. Is that fair?
A little bit.
It is.
Yeah, there's some... I mean, it's true. It's the opposite of Bill Belichick.
I didn't ask for Gerard Mayo.
I
never once asked for Gerard Mayo.
But you asked for something other than Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
This is something other than him, and he's leaning into not being like Bill. Like, if Gerard Mayo was trying to be like Bill, then I think we'd be upset with that, right? Like, what, do you think you're Bill Belichick? That didn't work when he was here, and now you're trying to do that again, and you're not him, and it's never worked with any of his other assistant coaches ever. Like, literally ever. So you'd be upset about that, right? We'd all
probably
have a problem with that.
Yeah.
So if he's leaning away from it, then it's the opposite.
But those to me are the same thing. You're bringing in somebody from the Bill tree. Why are you even toying around with
the tree?
No, but why are you toying around with the Bill tree? I wouldn't say if somebody came in and was a hard ass, but wasn't from the Bill tree, I'd be like, oh, that's how they are. It's authentic. If they come in from the Bill tree and try to be Bill, that bothers me. So why go to the Bill tree at all? This is not what I asked for. I said if I were any NFL team, never mind this one, any NFL team, I would never hire from Bill's coaching tree. I've been saying that now for years and years and years, going back to the first McDaniels debacle. The first one, okay? Not when he came back here and when he went to the Raiders, the first one in Denver. I would never go to the Bill coaching tree, okay? So they did that, number one. I also didn't want a defensive guy. So I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for this guy not once. I think they made the right move by moving on from Bill. And if you're still lusting after Bill Belichick, you must think every single team in the NFL is a bunch of morons, which I know Bill thinks. Bill thinks everybody else is a big fat idiot. It turns out no one else wanted Bill. Nobody. And so Bill was a good coach for a long time. ... with the greatest player of all time. I don't know. I don't find that to be all that impressive, quite frankly. A lot of guys can win with the greatest player of all time. In fact, most do in most sports. So I don't find that to be all that impressive. And I don't miss Bill, you know, at least from a coaching this team standpoint, maybe from like a talk radio content standpoint, sure. But I don't miss Bill. I don't think Bill should be here. I didn't ask for Bill. Don't say I asked for Bill. I didn't ask for this, meaning Gerard Mayo to replace Bill. I asked for an offensive guy that wasn't on Bill's coaching tree. This is not that. Deuce,
it's
PK.
Definitely not that.
No, it's not even
neither
close.
One of those two things.
Deuce, PK is in Boston. Go ahead, Deuce.
Hey, first I want to say that, you know, I heard about you guys' separation, man. I like you guys a lot. You guys are a great team.
Thanks.
First, I wanted to say that. Second of all, I hear you guys talk a lot about all the performances, the tryouts, the practices. But if this is a real build, why don't we just accept that they just suck until they become a better team? What's the big deal of just sucking in general?
Okay, well,
it sucks. It sucks when you suck.
Okay, I felt that way last year. But now you have, we hope, the franchise quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So you want all that suckiness around him? You want the losing and the bad attitude, and you want all that to be associated with your rookie quarterback. Like, last year I was all for be terrible, get a high draft pick, get the quarterback. I was all for that. But now that you have the quarterback, I think there's some value in being competitive, building towards something. You don't need to be a playoff team. You don't even need to have a winning record. But I hope they're better than last year, and I hope they look functional on offense. If May's playing, that's what I want. If May's not going anywhere near the field, and they know this, and it's a red shirt year, and Brissett's playing all year, then fine. Be terrible and get another high draft pick. I'll get on board with that. But if May's going to play, I think there's value in the team being competitive, being watchable, and a modern-day offense. Like, I'm going to lean in on some of that because I don't want Drake May to go 1-16. I don't think that's great.
No, it's definitely not. And, you know, we talk about ruining the quarterback. You know, that when we think of that, we think of a guy going out there and he can't put one foot in front of the other. He's throwing interceptions. He's getting sacked. He's missing guys. He can't run the huddle. He doesn't know the right play. Like, you know, that sort of thing. Like, that's how you ruin a quarterback. Not necessarily. You can have a quarterback go out there and perform well enough, and the team around him is just so bad that it breaks his spirit. Like, that could certainly happen. Like,
yeah.
This is his first year. It's his introduction to the NFL. And, you know, this was the team they put around him, knowing that he was the third overall pick and this centerpiece of the offense. And he goes out there, and it's just, oh, my God, like, every week with these guys, and we can't win a game. Like, that's that could play a big role in ruining a quarterback.
It could. I'm less concerned about that. If May's playing a bunch and he's wins one game all year, then I'm worried that he's not that good, and I'm worried about stuff like that. And so, no, if May's playing, I want them winning games and I want him looking good. I'm not just going to sit there and go, well, it's his rookie year. What do you expect? He's got nothing around him. I won't do that. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jerod Mayo, how they're going to handle this final preseason game. What do you expect to see out of Drake May? What's at stake in the final preseason tune-up against Washington? Plus, is this really a quarterback battle? Something we've been discussing all offseason. We're going to find out starting on Sunday night. That's next. How's Drake May earlier this week? Jacoby Brissett the starter? Yeah, I don't know. So what was that? We wondered in real time, is it Drake May looking at it going, it's not my place to say. I'm a rookie. What am I supposed to say? How am I supposed to handle this? He's not polished enough, media-wise. Is it just genuine? He doesn't know? Like, it's competition in his mind. The coaches are telling him it's competition, so he really doesn't know. Or is it possible he's just being somewhat defiant there? Like, yeah, I don't know. Let's see. Let me give him a run in his final game. Do you think it's a real competition still, Arcan, or do you think it's done?
I think it is. I still think it is. I still think that this Sunday could make a difference. And I know that I'm probably the last one on this boat, but, like, there's, to me, still, I think, some consistency here with what Mayo's been saying. You know, I didn't expect that May was going to start this game.
No, you're the last one on that boat. Think Mayo's been consistent.
He's sort of talked in circles, but in the sense of, you know, who's the starter right now? Well, this is the starter right now, but it's still a competition, and we still haven't decided for week one yet. Like, he's been consistent about Brissett being the guy, and that May still has a chance to take it. So I'm taking him at his word there, and I think that even if he's not being totally honest with that, there's still, at the very least, the possibility that Brissett goes out there and just gets absolutely pummeled, throws a bunch of picks, and May goes out there and dazzles. And if that happens, I just think there's going to be pressure from Jonathan Kraft, the Hammer, Robert even maybe. I think that's going to be a real thing. I do. I don't think that they're going to be able to ignore that. They want to sell jerseys. They want to sell tickets. And if May looks like he's ready and Brissett is just a disaster, then I think it's going to force their hand.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I'm on that boat. I'm not on the Mayo's been consistent
boat. A lot of boats here.
No, but I'm not on the Mayo's been consistent boat. He hasn't been consistent. He came out and said, Jacoby's our starter. And now he's like, yeah, no, we're going to find out. We don't have a starter right now. That's not consistent. So I'm with you. I think the last game matters. I think these practices have mattered. And I don't know if May's done enough to start week one, but I think this is a real opportunity and a real potential showcase for Drake May. And I also agree with something else you said. A lot of people have fallen into this. Oh, it's not about Jacoby Brissett. It's only about Drake May and his development. Garbage. Nonsense. If Brissett looks terrible and Brissett's unplayable, then they're going to play Drake May. So it's twofold. How does Brissett look on Sunday? How does May look? And if Brissett looks terrible and May looks good, that combination, I still think May can start week one.
Yeah.
And I, by the way, think he should start week one.
I think he should anyway, regardless of, you know, how things look here, unless it's the opposite, unless he's an absolute mess and Brissett's out there throwing dimes left and right, then fine. I mean, I think that, you know, that'll be something that, looking at that, they'll say, well, we can't put this guy out here week one if he's having this much trouble in the preseason. But he hasn't been. He hasn't had much trouble in the preseason.
No.
And maybe that'll change on Sunday. Maybe he'll go out there and the Commanders will just have his number. I mean, who knows? And it's one game. And honestly, it's a small enough sample size. It's not even a game. It's going to be like a quarter or two at most. Because they said that Milton and Zach Zappi are both going to play, right? Didn't Mayo say that today? So
I think he was asked to follow up and then added Zappi at the end. Zappi barely played at the end of last game, so it might not be much.
It might not be, but I think at most you're going to see two quarters of May. I don't think you'll see more than that.
Yeah.
And that's not a big enough sample size to be able to determine if he's going to have a good season or not. But if he goes out there and throws a couple of touchdowns and Jacoby Brissett is fumbling and they're picking, scooping, scoring on him, then like, you know, that's going to tell a story that is going to be hard to ignore.
Yeah.
Now you guys can sleep. Zappi will play.
Oh, thank you. Wow. So, no, that's basically what happened last week. Not the scoop and score and everything else, and not the touchdowns for May, but it was basically May played two quarters, not quite a full two, but he played end of the first, end of the third, right? And Brissett had a handful of series. Brissett looked terrible in that cameo, and May looked good. And if that happens again, yeah. I think you can start week one. Arcan had a lot of interesting data. We'll give you more of it coming up here on Jones and Arcan today. No Mego. We did our final show with Mego yesterday as we continue out the week here on WEEI. Joe is in Naples. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, two things. I wish Jordan Mayo as a coach the best. The Patriots have never won unless they've had really tough, hard coaching. I go back to Fairbanks, Parcells, and then Belichick. I don't see the touchy-feely approach working. The second is...
Okay, but Joe, hang on. So, Joe. That's specific to the Patriots. You don't see it working throughout the NFL, though? Because I do see it working other places.
Andy Reid's a player's coach.
Yeah, exactly.
I see it, but I'm talking specific Patriots.
I know, but what do you think specific to here? I know that's how it's been, but what do you think specific to here? There hasn't been a new coach in 20 years. That's probably the real answer.
Okay, maybe the real answer, but... If I look at the history of the Patriots, the Sullivan family would interfere.
I know, but Joe, what does that have to
do? And would they ever win with Chuck Fairbanks or Bill Parcells either?
What does that have to do with today? Yeah. Like, so again, 20 years ago, players' coaches weren't a thing in the NFL. I mean, they were, but how successful they were, I'd have to go back and really look at. Like, who was really successful as a player's coach?
Sean Payton won a Super Bowl. He was a player's coach.
No, 20 years ago, right? So, like,
was that about 20? Well, I guess it wasn't 20 years
ago. No, it was 2009. Yeah. So I have 15 years, whatever. Yeah. But, like, you know, when Bill first started is my point. And prior to that, like all those coaches, yeah, I don't think there were as many players coaches as there are now. But now the league is run by. So, all right, fine. The Patriots haven't had success with a Pete Carroll type. They haven't. True. But there's a lot of them throughout the league. I just think a lot of them are on offense. I think a lot of them are, they don't have edge because they're not on defense and they were close to a quarterback and ran an offense. And that's not this guy. And on top of it, this guy's from the Bill coaching tree. And to me, those are two major strikes against Jerod Mayo or anyone like Jerod. I would have said that about Patricia. I would have said that about Judge. I would have said that about McDaniels. I would have said that about Charlie White. I would have said that about all these guys, right? I guess Weiss was at least on offense. So is McDaniels. But I don't want any of those guys from here. I didn't. And I want a guy who's on offense. And
Jeff Fisher, Tony Dungy, John Gruden, Bill Cowher, they don't scream players coach to me.
No, exactly. And those are guys who all won. Mm. So... Look, the real reason the Patriots have probably never been successful with a player's coach is because they haven't hired a coach in 20-plus years.
Right.
I think that's his exercise that I don't think is very useful. But I've seen a lot of them throughout the league. Most of them are on offense. Most of them.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I think that in general, you know, like the personality of the coach really depends a lot on the personality of the players, too, as opposed to vice versa. Like, I think that if you have the type of coach, like, I don't think Bill Belichick necessarily would have been successful or as successful with a quarterback other than Brady, and not just because Brady was so great, but because Brady really responded well to that kind of hard-ass crap. Like, he was, it motivated. He said that a million times. And I don't know necessarily that would have worked with Peyton Manning or Phillip Rivers or, you know, one of the Roethlisberger, one of those guys. I'm not sure it would have. Maybe it would have, but, like, I don't know that. I know with Brady it was a good match. And really, that's what it's about. It's about matching up your guy with a coach who can get to him, who can connect with him. And I think you really saw that with Bill and Brady.
617-779-7937. You could jump in on this. What's at stake in the final preseason game? Is it really a quarterback competition? And is it smart to play a young quarterback? All things we covered in the first hour of the show. You can jump in there again at 617-779-7937. How much trust do you put in Jerod Mayo running the show here in New England? And who is running the show here in New England? We'll get more into that next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.